Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 40, Text Number 1. Shri Akrura Vacha Natoshmyaham Chakila Hetu Hetum Narayanam Purusham Vajam Avyayam Nabhi Jatandara Vindakosha Brahma Virashi Jatari Shalokaha Natosmyaham Sakila Hetu Hetum Narayanam Purusham Bajham Avyaham Nabhi Jatadara Vindakosha Brahma Virashi Jatari Shaloka Sri Kuru said, Nataha bowed down as me am Aham I Tva to you Akila of all, Hetu, cause, Hetum, the cause, Narayanam, Lord Narayan, Purusham, the Supreme Person, Ajham, original, Avyayam, inexhaustible, Yat, from whose, Nabi, navel, Jatat, which was generated, Aravinda, of a lotus plant, Koshat, from the world, Brahma, Brahma, Avirasit, appeared, Yataha, from whom, Isha, this, Lokaha, world. Translation, Sri Akrura said, I bow down to you, the cause of all causes, the original and inexhaustible Supreme Person Narayan, from the whirl of the lotus born from your navel, Brahma appeared, and by his agency this universe has come into being. So today, of course, is the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, and we will try and discuss on that topic and our purification and enlightenment. We'll begin with this sloka, the first sloka of the 40th chapter, which is entitled The Prayers of Akrura. So here, Akrura is offering his obeisances unto Lord Narayan. He's actually offering prayers to Lord Krishna, who he has now understood to be Lord Narayan. And he has understood that Krishna is the cause of all causes, who is original and inexhaustible Supreme Person, Narayan. So he is understanding that Krishna is a person, that he is the Supreme Person. He is the original person. He is non-different from Narayan. Therefore, from the world of the lotus born from the navel of Lord Narayan, Brahma appeared, and by his agency the universe has come into being. So, in this way, in Akrura's first part of his prayers, he has summed up the Krishna consciousness philosophy in a nutshell. God is Krishna. He is origin of all other expansions. He is a person. He is supreme. And everything in this material universe, everything in the spiritual and material universe is emanating from Krishna. And after many, many births, one who is wise, they understand this, that Vasudev, the son of Krishna, the son of Vasudev, Krishna, is the origin of all material and spiritual worlds. So these are the prayers of Akrura. And of course, in the previous chapter, we have been, here Akrura is standing by the bank of the Jamuna, Akrura Ghat, where he has witnessed Krishna appearing in the form of Mahavishnu, resting on the bed of Ananta Sesha. So Akrura, he left Krishna and Balaram on the chariot. He went to bathe in the water, and when he looked in the water, he saw there is Krishna and Balaram. So he got out and went back to the chariot. And when he looked at the chariot, he saw Krishna and Balaram were still there. He thought, well, better go back to the water and see. So he went back to the water, and there he saw that Krishna had assumed the form of Mahavishnu. Balaram had assumed the form of Ananta Sesha, and they were there in the Jamuna, and all the great, the eternal associates of the Lord, from Vaikuntha Lokas and various demigods and siddhas and others, and all the Lord's different energies were all there offering worship and service to the Supreme Lord like that. So, therefore, Akrura is offering this prayer. Akrura, of course, has just been to Vrindavan. Akrura, we may question, well, why did Krishna show Akrura Vaikuntha, the Vaikuntha planets and his form as, Mahavishnu? Because Akrura had just been to Vrindavan. So, Śrīla Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakur explains that Akrura had his own, Diksha mantra from his spiritual master. And of course, upon going to Vrindavan, seeing Krishna, associating with the gopis, he understood that this form of Krishna is the original, most wonderful, splendid form of the Lord. But after leaving Vrindavan and leaving the association of the gopis, again by chanting his Diksha mantra, then he has meditated upon the Lord in a different form, more again in the form of Narayan, Mahavishnu, of awe and reverence, which is what he is accustomed to. It is actually very, very rare to have that constant meditation upon the form of the Lord in his original feature as Krishna, as the gopis did. So the gopis considered to be, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada of course taught us the philosophy and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that is that the love of God, prema, is the topmost goal of life. We should have no other goal. Our only goal in life should be love of God, and we should understand that if one has that goal, that is the topmost goal of life, prema, to attain prema, Krishna prema. And that the gopis of Vrindavan, they manifest the highest degree in its most pure and perfectional form of love of God. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that we should follow in their footsteps. And Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the narration of these various pastimes of Krishna with his eternal associates, that is the spotless transcendental literature which we should always hear. And that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the mantra recommended for this age of Kali, which by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of the devotees, we can actually also develop that pure love of God, following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. Of course, we cannot imitate their very, very high degree of intense love. But certainly we should generally follow in that mood. Following in the mood means that the mind is fixed on Krishna, as the supreme form. That is the meditation of the devotee, is always thinking, even when they're meditating on other expansions of the Lord, they meditate on those expansions in relationship to their relationship with Krishna. And so the gopis of Vrindavan, of course, in the previous chapter, we saw how intense and how very, very powerful their love of God was. What happened there, of course, was how Krura ended up here with Krishna and Balaram, was that Krishna had taken Krishna and Balaram away from the gopis. And he had come to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. So the gopis, they found it very difficult to pass one moment without Krishna. So now they are facing, when they heard the news, of course, of this separation from Krishna, one moment is already a terrible, terrible nightmare for them. And now they are thinking that we will be separated maybe, for a day or two, or maybe he will not come back at all. And so they were just absolutely devastated. Now, some of the gopis, such as Bhadra and her, Shakis, they became so disturbed because their love for Krishna was so intense that they became completely stressed and disturbed by this just the thought of separation from Krishna. And some of them, their faces became very, very pale. They lost all the colour. Others, such as Chandravali, or others such as Shamala, they became so disturbed that, all the bangles started falling off their hands. You imagine how disturbed your eyes are, just instantly, lose, weight, thinness. Thinness is actually one of the symptoms of extreme separation. You just lose, and then just all the bangles and the clothes, everything just, just completely devastated. And, gopis such as Chandravali and, her shakis, they became, it's described that they became so much in anxiety and disturbed by the thought of separation from Krishna that they lost all connection with the material body. They had no idea that their material body existed anymore. they were meditating upon the form of the Lord. Now, Srimati Radharani, she was, she started to remember the various joking words of Krishna, and just by remembering the words of Krishna, let alone the form, she became so distressed with the thought of separation that she immediately just fell unconscious and just fainted like that. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that, it is by these symptoms that we actually recognize who are the various gopis. Because in the case of Srimati Radharani, what to speak of the form of the Lord, just the mere thought, the memory of some of the words that Krishna had spoken was enough to just set her, you know, mind reeling in the most intense form of, you know, disturbed mood of separation, where she would just fall completely unconscious. So there are various, in everything, there are various degrees whereby we can understand the nature of one's love for Krishna. So how, of course, that will relate to us. On our platform, we, you know, don't have this, not to my knowledge anyway, I speak for myself, but on our platform, we don't have this direct relationship with Krishna. Our relationship is actually with Srila Prabhupada, with the spiritual master. And in the same way, our measure of love, our measure of devotion, is also can be understood by, you know, the various symptoms that manifest. So this, you know, it's interesting here that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out how Srimati Radharani is, you know, meditating on, you know, just the words. That was enough for Srimati Radharani. That is enough of a connection with Krishna for all the manifestations of love and, you know, all the various ecstatic feelings of ecstasy and what have you to manifest. Whereas you see that some other devotees, you see here, you know, you won't see that sort of level with Akura. You know, even at some stage, you know, he may become separated from Krishna. But you won't see that, you know, he will just, like Srimati Radharani, just fall to the ground unconscious, just, you know, on the verge of death. See, so there are different symptoms. So, similarly, in Srimati Radharani's case, the mere, you know, hint of Krishna's words or anything related to Krishna is enough to have this strong connection with Krishna for all this ecstatic love and this, you know, reciprocal relationship and very powerful feelings of love to be manifest. So, yeah, our we develop our love for Krishna through the spiritual master, and so there is a similarity in the sense that our relationship with the Guru, you can tell the depth of a devotee's love. Just like you see that in Srila Prabhupada's absence, some devotees, they can just remember his words, his instructions, and that's enough. They will feel a total, complete, full connection and a full reciprocation of loving exchanges. So that is a measure, similarly, of a, you know, very strong and powerful relationship and connection with Srila Prabhupada. Some, you come down, you know, further down the scale, that, you know, even though they're remembering Srila Prabhupada's words and instructions, they're longing, you know, for the form of Srila Prabhupada, and without that form being present, they find it very difficult sometimes to feel the connection. They feel that somehow when he was physically present there was a very strong presence, and now that form is not there, that connection, they feel somehow a little bit that the connection is not there, the relationship, they cannot feel that reciprocation as well. Some, even in the physical presence of Srila Prabhupada, even hearing his very words, because that level of love and you know, connection is not established, that then even in his very presence, you know, they cannot feel some connection, And therefore, even Srila Prabhupada may be speaking to them or, you know, reciprocating with them, they would just sort of, you know, walk out the door and never come back, which is very sad. So, you know, the point being that the nature of one's relationship and connection with Srila Prabhupada depends completely upon the spiritual maturity of the devotee. It's not that Srila Prabhupada's mercy is there for some and not for others. That's not actually the case. Or, boy, he got so much mercy, he's got a strong connection with Srila Prabhupada. That's not the case. Srila Prabhupada's mercy and connection is there for thousands of years, as long as his name and his words are present. You know, that those people can, you know, take up that connection through the words of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, you know, this same instruction was given, you know, by Srila Prabhupada, you know, to his disciples, that, you know, I will not always be here, but, you know, my instructions will always be there. And that is the most important way to, you know, associate with the spiritual master. But that instruction actually was given by Krishna also when he was speaking with the gopis, because when the gopis, you know, they just all night long they were fainting and, you know, trying to get up the strength to walk, and, you know, they gradually, you know, come the dawn, they made it to Nanda Maharaj's door, you know, knowing that the chariot would be there to take Krishna away, and, you know, they were, you know, crying out, "Oh Providence, you know, you are so cruel, you know, you have come in the form of a Kura." And then, you know, they're thinking, "Krishna, you are also cruel." Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to experience these and relish, which is what devotees do. They actually relish these spiritual pastimes and the emotions, try to get a little taste of them, you know. What is it like to love God? Or what is it like to love Him so much that you feel separation at the thought of His absence? So devotees like to try and enter into that mood as much as possible through the spiritual master. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to, you know, quote these various verses when he was feeling great separation from Krishna. He would quote the verses from that chapter, and then, you know, "Oh Providence," and "Oh Krishna, you are cruel." And then ultimately he said that, you know, "It is my, you know, it is me who is to blame, you know, like that. I cannot blame Krishna, I cannot blame Providence, it ultimately is me," which is, you know, the humility of a devotee. So the gopis, when they saw the chariot moving away, then, you know, they just sort of came and surrounded Krishna on the chariot. And at this stage, their voices were so choked, you know, with emotion, very powerful emotions, that they couldn't speak. They were lucky to be standing. And the Damada, Madhava, Govinda. So they're just saying these words. They could just get, you know, a word out, because the whole sentences wouldn't come out. But in those words, you know, Damada, you know, "You are breaking our heart, you know. You allowed Mother Yasoda to bind you. Do not break her heart." You know, in these various names of the Lord, they're actually, you know, there was so much feeling that they could not quite express. But anyway, Krishna's chariot began to pull out regardless. And, you know, they decided that they would, you know, somehow just try and stop that chariot. And, you know, they didn't care that everyone, all of a sudden, everyone's going to know that we have this great love for Krishna, which we've been hiding. But we don't care. And they just, you know, tried to stop Krishna. So Krishna, of course, he was feeling extreme separation from them. He was just as they were disturbed, he was extremely in great anxiety and feeling great disturbance and anxiety at the thought of being separated from them and from Srimati Radharani. So, you know, therefore, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is the mood of Krishna when he is feeling separation from it is in the mood of Radharani feeling separation from Krishna, and Jagannath, Lord Jagannath, is Krishna when he's feeling the mood of separation from Radharani. That is, this separation, you know, underlies very sweet. It appears to be something very disturbing, but it is a very intense spiritual sweet nectar, as described the other day, like a chutney, so hot that you can barely eat it, but so sweet you cannot resist, like that. That is the nature of it. So, you know, to that sort of love. So, you know, at that stage, Krishna, he glanced at the gopis and sort of assured them, yes, you know, I love you and I will come back, you know, like this. And they understood that, but they also wanted to hear his words. They wanted some lasting instruction. And therefore, you know, Krishna, he did speak to them. He, you know, he said that, you know, perhaps tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, I will return and I will come back quickly, like this. Because Krishna understood that if he didn't say anything, they were on the verge of death. He saved their lives. By saying what he did, he actually saved their lives. Because they were just, you know, dropping like flies. They had, you know, just a fragment of life here, just clinging on to life with some hope that Krishna wouldn't go. And Krishna knew if he just took off like that, they're just going to fall in a heap dead. So he said that. You know, I'll be back, I'll come back quickly. And he saved their lives. So, anyway, again the chariot took off, but the gopis still weren't satisfied. So again, they followed him and followed him. Therefore, you see in Vrindavan, there's, you know, this village where the gopis, you know, cry. There's another village which means like lightning, but the gopis just drop like lightning bolts hitting the ground when Krishna finally left. You know, there's places where the tears created, you know, these kuns, you know, because they just kept following Krishna. So, you know, at another, they just surrounded him again. There's thousands and thousands of gopis. So, of course, at this stage, he had to get off his chariot. He got down from his chariot and began kissing them and hugging them. You know, it'll be all right. I'll be back soon. It'll be okay. And then he got on his chariot and, you know, off he get to. And again, they stopped him like this. And so, at this stage, he was, you know, standing there. And, of course, all the other gopis, everyone's like speechless and just unable to fathom what is happening here. And he said to them that while he was away, they should meditate upon his transcendental pastimes and his words, and, you know, like this, that should be their meditation. So that same instruction was actually given by Krishna to the gopis, which Srila Prabhupada gave to us. We follow the exact same instruction, you know, because the instruction comes down in the line, you know, from Krishna to guru to disciple, guru to disciple, all, you know, like this. And in this way, by Srila Prabhupada's teaching us that, we are learning getting a taste of love in separation, spiritual love in separation, through the spiritual master. But that, you know, the love that is there for the spiritual master, as described, everything is, you know, has its specific symptoms. You know, you can't just say that anything, you know, you can't say anything is love. In other words, you cannot say, yes, I love Srila Prabhupada, but, you know, I don't love his instructions. I love Srila Prabhupada, but, you know, when it comes 4 a.m. in the morning and Srila Prabhupada's waiting for me to turn up for Mangalarti, that instruction I do not love. So, you know, that is one form of love. You know, or, I love Srila Prabhupada, but I don't want to follow his regular principles that he's given. You know, I love Prabhupada so much, but, you know, he has asked everyone to chant 16 rounds, but I do not love that instruction. I don't love that side of Srila Prabhupada where he's asking me to do things. You know. So, you know, there are different degrees. You know, you can't just say that one thing is the same as the other. We're not Mayavadis that, oh, it's all love, you know. It's all the same. I was actually speaking of, last night I did that Vasa Puja. I got to bed about 1:30 or something. But I was talking with these people and they had, you know, they worship Krishna and what have you. And they were very nice Vaishnavas, but I think, you know, I think the people that they were a lot of them living in one house, and some of the guests very attached to Sai Baba, the original Sai Baba. And of course, he was saying, you know, Sai Baba says he is Krishna, all his followers say he is Krishna. So Sai Baba's, you know, the instruction coming from him is that it doesn't matter if we eat meat, it doesn't matter if we take intoxication, as long as you love Krishna and surrender unto him. Is that, see, he's saying, so they're saying the same thing. So, you know, what is, and so I was trying to explain, well, if your guru is saying you can do anything and attain spiritual, you know, perfection, why have a guru? Because already you're doing anything. Right? Why you have to go to a guru for him to tell you do whatever you please? why have a Bhagavad Gita? You know, all the instructions of Bhagavad Gita add up to the instruction surrender unto me by doing as you please. You know, where do you see in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is saying to Arjuna, just do as you please, you know, put down your bow and arrow. But you know, they are considering that sort of love, where you do whatever you like, is equal to the love that you love Srila Prabhupada and you follow regulative principles, you make sacrifices, you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you get out of bed, you know, you shake off the modes of passion and ignorance, you know, you do some work for Srila Prabhupada, just like, again, you know, there is, you know, a crew that follow Narayan Maharaj. And personally, I've always said that, you know, if they ever had to open a temple, they'd have a lot of trouble. Because, you know, it's the sort of people that are attracted that I want a guru who doesn't tell me to do much besides what I'm already doing. You know, who doesn't ask me to chant any more rounds than I feel like on any particular occasion, and who initiate me, you know, without really any qualification, and doesn't want me particularly care if I preach or establish temples. So when you attract that sort of person, you can imagine when you want to establish a temple, you're going to have a lot of trouble. Now they've made a philosophy out of it. Now they actually say, oh, we don't believe opening temples is a proper thing. They actually say it. Now they're preaching. It's, you know, it's not, this is a lower level of, you know, sort of Vaishnava behaviour, you know. We're on this, very elevated platform of Krishna consciousness where, you know, we're not interested in those things. But, you know, I have to ask them, you know, that, you know, therefore they're higher than the six Goswamis. Look at the massive temples that they built. So therefore they're saying that the six Goswamis were wrong. You know, that they, in fact, they're saying Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is wrong because the very emblem of the Gaudiya Math, from which they're supposed to be part of, on one side you have the Bhagavatam, the other side you have Lakshmi Narayan. Bhagavatam represents the process of, you know, Raga Marg, Bhagavat Marg, hearing, chanting, remembering, following in the footsteps of the Gopis. And on the other side is Lakshmi Narayan, which represents the Pancharatrika Vidhi of deity worship. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati taught his disciples, Srila Prabhupada followed in the same steps, that opening temples, you know, and preaching, hearing and chanting go on like two rails of a track. And the track. So, For someone to be preaching, they're going against the guru, they're going against the six Goswamis, and they may say, well, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never opened temples, but he also never wrote books. Therefore, maybe we shouldn't write books either. There's a lot of things Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, did or didn't do. So, you know, we have to be... of course, we are very fortunate because we follow Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada gave us the great blessing that everything is very clear-cut. This is a demon, this is a devotee, you know, this is pure devoted service, and this is not. Go in the cupboard. Like that. We have that wonderful blessing in Srila Prabhupada. And without that, without following the guru, you really don't know. And you take something, some watered down something, as being the same as the gopis or the same as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in actuality, without taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, as soon as someone leaves that shelter, you know, they will be lost. So, you know, by taking Srila Prabhupada's instructions, just as the gopis took the words and, you know, always hearing and chanting, and what did Krishna say to us, you know, what are his pastimes, what are his activities, they're constantly hearing, chanting and meditating upon that as they went about their other activities. And that is the same instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave us, that whatever you're doing, you know, you meditate. We sing every morning, what is that, you know, the third line, what is that third line? My only wish is to meditate upon the instructions, you know, the words coming from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. That we sing every day, and that should be our, you know, meditation. Always meditating upon, you know, the words, the teachings, and the pastimes. And in this way, you actually become purified by this process, and you will develop love of God. You will develop a very strong relationship with the Guru, and that strong relationship with the Guru is how we are being progressing in our love for Krishna. As the love for the Guru, you know, becomes very strong, very pure, very powerful, then our love for Krishna is also progressing like that. It is not the same relationship, of course. We don't see the Guru as Krishna, but the you know, the purity, the intensity, you know, of our love in, as it is growing in relationship with the spiritual master, then it is actually, you know, concomitantly growing with the Krishna. One cannot jump over that and just go straight to Krishna. The connection, Krishna says, the one who says he is my devotee, he is not my devotee. The one who is a devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So Krishna, you cannot, sometimes, someone asked me last night, why do we have to have this, you know, connection with the Guru? Because, you know, I can do everything. I can, you know, I'll chant and, you know, they say they're doing it, but I chant and I'm following all the principles and, you know, I'm always Krishna conscious and, you know, I'm always at the temple and this, that and the other. And, you know, so I'm doing all these things. Why do you need the connection? So I actually gave the example that, for instance, it's not just your own personal qualifications that matter. We give them the benefit of the doubt that they are qualified. But it's whether Krishna recognises it. Whether Krishna recognises your qualifications. In the same way, someone may go to the university. When I was a teenager, my friends were art students, and I lived with them, and I used to just sit in on their classes. I didn't enrol, but I used to go to their classes. It was fun. I went to all of them. So, you know, at the end of the year, they got their certificate and that, but I didn't get anything. See, because I wasn't recognised. I didn't establish the connection. And I was still painting the same as everyone else. So, you know, without establishing that connection, even some qualifications may be there, but Krishna doesn't recognise it until he wants this qualification to be paramount amongst all our spiritual qualifications, and that is, you take up service humbly to my pure devotees, follow their instructions. If you do that, I will consider all your qualifications to be much greater than what they really are, and I will consider all your faults to be tiny, tiny, that I'm not even noticing them. Like this. So this is very, very important. So on this day, we can meditate upon continuing with our connection with Srila Prabhupada by following his instructions, in that way developing a great love for Srila Prabhupada and his followers and all those who follow in their line, and by developing that love for the devotees in ISKCON, you automatically develop love for Krishna and all the devotees. Let's leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
In the beginning of the Bible time, Prabhupada quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he lives forever by his divine instructions and the follower lives with him. So, but then you say there's a need for connection. So, there are followers who don't have a connection to Prabhupada directly. But what you're saying is, if we follow Prabhupada's instructions, we can have a connection with him.
Yes, because Srila Prabhupada taught us such very powerful instructions from to devotion, of course. And as even in the very beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, in the introduction, which is discussing the first few verses of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Prabhupada states there that your connection with Krishna is established at the point of initiation. So, and then, as the book develops, Srila Rupa Goswami also explains that of all the different principles of devotional service, these, first five, I think, which are in connection with taking shelter of the spiritual master, taking initiation, following his instructions, they're the very, very important. You cannot really expand upon the others, expand your devotional service, unless you do those. So, coming down through the six Goswamis, coming down through Srila Prabhupada. So, following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, sometimes people say, I'm following Srila Prabhupada, and therefore I don't have to take initiation. And I think, well, if you're following Prabhupada, wouldn't you take initiation, because that's what he's asking you to do? You know what I mean? They say that. I'm following Prabhupada's instructions, so therefore why should I take initiation? But Prabhupada's instruction is that the most important of all our instructions is to take initiation, take shelter. Now, and he says very clearly, at that point of initiation, your connection with Krishna is established. So, but the interesting thing there is that in some cases, Srila Prabhupada wrote to his disciples who were waiting for initiation, but were following his instructions, and saying to them that factually the connection with the Guru is already there, and the seed of bhakti is already planted in your heart. That he had already, which is usually done at the time of initiation, and he was considering that, okay, the formality will come, but you are actually discipled. The connection is there because you're following the instruction. And he considered that, therefore, the seed of bhakti yoga has been transferred by the spiritual master into the heart of the disciple, and later will, he's saying, the initiation is important, but it is the formality. On the reverse, there are disciples who actually took initiation and who, wouldn't follow chanting, the four regular principles, or anything. And Srila Prabhupada wrote several letters saying that if they're not following this, the basics of Krishna consciousness, obligation to him to follow, then he no longer had an obligation to come back and get them. That's what he said. they're cheating. They're cheating that, you know. Of course, if there's, you know, due to a little inexperience or helplessness, naturally the guru is, you know, Srila Prabhupada is the most merciful personality you can find in Kali Yuga. And naturally he will be very, you know, keen to come back and save a disciple who's, you know, had some difficulty. But if someone tries to cheat and, you know, takes their obligations as just, you know, had no intention of trying and think that the guru can sort out my mess, then the guru is no longer obligated. Because the contract between the guru and the disciple is one of mercy. You know, is the mercy of the guru, the mercy of Krishna. It is always, you know, throughout is one of mercy. So if someone, you know, completely abuses that mercy, then that mercy can be withdrawn. That's the point there. So, you know, connection with the spiritual master in there, when we're looking at initiation, Srila Prabhupada in every instance always emphasized what are you doing as a disciple as far as our connection, not that, you know, you sat in a fire jugger. That was there and that was important, but more important to Srila Prabhupada was, are you acting as a disciple? That's where the connection is. That's where the real connection is. Like that. And Srila Prabhupada also, you know, in regards to his own spiritual master, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he quite often says that that initiation took place at that first meeting. And, you know, different, he says he was initiated. And he was saying that, you know, of course the formality was something like 10 or 11 years later, but he said at that point I accepted him as my guru, as initiation. At that. Whereas, you know, so that initiation is to accept the guru within your heart. And accept the guru within your heart means to, you know, a commitment to follow. Some people who sit in the fire jugya never accept a guru that you will tell me what to do, you know, I will follow. That you know, acceptance is not quite there. And therefore, you know, the formality is always secondary to the actual acceptance of the guru and following of the guru's instructions. And that was Srila Prabhupada's mood. So initiation is very important, very important. But it should be accompanied by, you know, actions and not just sentiments that, you know, and even if the initiation is not there, then we connect with Srila Prabhupada by following his instructions, by taking initiation from his followers, his disciples. So that's also direct connect, directly following Prabhupada's orders. Yes, I'll take initiation. And I feel that I'm qualified enough not to have a guru, but I'll follow Prabhupada. Any other comments and questions? Right, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. I get embarrassed. My talk's a bit strained out.
Did you do the second one?
I did the first one, yeah.
Just one thing?
Just one.